Hey everybody, and welcome back to a very special edition of Steve's NRL Footy Tips. I'm your host, Stephen Westway. Great to be here on Wednesday morning, 2 days out from my new favourite round in the Rugby League calendar. It is Magic Round. I was lucky enough to experience it firsthand last year up at Suncorp Stadium in Brisbane, where I saw a festival of Rugby League, and this year I'm going to be up there as well with some friends of the show that are, you know, guests on the show before. But it's going to be a really fun and exciting weekend for all Rugby League fans. And my experience last year was pretty special and pretty surreal. I mean, walking down Caxton Street past the Caxton and walking up to the stadium, the fans were just full of excitement. And, you knew you were surrounded by Queensland fans. There was a lot of Broncos fans, especially on the Friday when they play versus Manly like they do every year. But it was a little bit different than like a usual State of Origin or another big game feel for me, because you're walking into the stadium and there was a bunch of events, you know, merchandise shops, tri-score celebrations, you could make your own, a lot of different little activities set up. But there was a real feeling in the air, and that is the feeling that every fan that was there for one purpose, and that was to celebrate our great game of rugby league. You saw, And if you go, you'll see jerseys from every team. Doesn't matter what day of the week it is. Doesn't matter what team we're talking about. You'll see North Sydney Bears jerseys. You'll see Newtown Jets jerseys. South Queensland Crusher jersey I even saw last year. The atmosphere is electric. And without a doubt, last year was my single favourite live rugby league experience I've ever had in my life. And, you know, beating all those other big games I've had the privilege to go to, I think Magic Round is a truly special experience, and I'm looking forward to celebrating it this weekend and celebrating the game of Rugby League this weekend. And there's 8 big games, unfortunately, in the build-up to this great celebration of football. There has been injury carnage, a lot of heavyweights, a lot of superstar players out of action for their teams this week, including Nathan Cleary. He's out of the entire State of Origin series. Likewise to Tom Trbojevic for Manly. Absolute massive losses there. Sean Johnson's gone down for the Warriors. He'll be out with a pec injury for a few weeks. AJ Brimson gone with a groin injury for 6 to 8 weeks for the Titans. As is Kieran Foran, also sidelined for them. Harley Smith-Shields out for the rest of the year. Adding to the already injury tolls that, you know, we've seen over the last few weeks in players like Ryan Papahaus and Cameron Murray, Jerome Hughes, all missing for their respective clubs. It's simply turmoil in terms of injuries in the rugby league world at the moment, but I'm sure we're still going to get some great football this weekend. And as I sat down to record today's show, and I want today's show to be, you know, positive and matching the feel that you get if you go to the Magic Round, and, you know, just being positive. I don't want to get too much into the negative this weekend like I have about some of the struggling teams who probably are still struggling, a lot of them including the Cowboys and the Rabbitohs and the Eels, but I want to stick to the positives. But as I sat down to record the show, there's been breaking news this morning, and that is that David Fifita has changed his mind, it seems, and is going to stay at the Gold Coast Titans for the next 2 years, despite the fact that he agreed to sign a Sydney Roosters contract for 2025. He has had a change of heart, will remain up there at the Gold Coast, and I think it's a massive win, not just for the Titans, but for rugby league in general. David Fifita is the face of the Titans club, and especially with rumours that Big Tino, who's out for the season, has been linked to a potential Storm return. It was crucial that the Titans kept their superstar. Now, last week on the show, I talked about their need for spine members, halves, and maybe some more outside backs, but I still think they've got enough in the salary cap where they can chase some of those players, and especially because we don't have a marquee big-name playmaker off contract at the end of this year, Gold Coast can, you know, shift their focus to retaining who they have, trying to pick up a couple of handy signings then and then, and just build the whole franchise around David Fifita. Now, the Roosters were left shell-shocked by this morning, and if you guys have listened to the media reports of the past week, then players like Wong and Satili Tupanua have been given freedom to go and search for other clubs for 2025 and beyond. Angus Crichton, who's in remarkable form and will be picked for New South Wales in a couple of weekends' time, he didn't even know that this was happening, and, you know, he's in negotiations to potentially re-sign the club or go elsewhere. And, you know, when you sign a player to the caliber of David Fiat and then he backflips, I think it has significant impacts on the rest of the organisation. I mean, how your relationship with those other off-contract back rowers that you were looking to potentially re-sign, and will you be able to get a deal, you know, done now that they know, those players know, that your focus was elsewhere and you're only turning back to them because, you know, Fifita backflipped and stayed with the Titans. It's massive news for both the Titans and the Roosters. The Roosters are losing a lot of stars this year. I'm sure they're going to hit the play market again. But yeah, Fifita's a big one to lose, and I think it's great for rugby league in general because we want the Gold Coast Titans to be competitive. And Fifita is the face of that organisation. He's the biggest star at that club. And I think he's pivotal to the Titans turning the corner and becoming a competitive team again. They were great in their victory over the Cowboys in that first half last weekend. It was good to see them get 2 points on the board. So they're a club building, and keeping Fifita is only going to benefit them in the long run. So as I said, this week's really a celebration of the game. But if we look at last week's results, we'll recap them before we get into this week's previews. On last Thursday night, seems like an eternity ago now, the Dolphins 30 over Manly 24. Manly, without a doubt, the most inconsistent and unreliable team in rugby league at the moment. I know they had the excuse with Tom Trbojevic unfortunately being injured in this one, but the fact that they were up, 12 or 14 points, and then, you know, the Dolphins came back and ended up winning pretty easily in the end, speaks to the volumes of Manly getting to a good start and then completely clocking off and all falling apart. They need to be more consistent, especially in the middle periods of halves. And, you know, it's a big game this week against the Broncos. For the Dolphins, they'll take the 2 points. It was a real hard-earned victory, and it's pretty much what Wayne Bennett's really instilled in the club in his 2 years. They're going to work hard. They don't have the superstars that other teams have. They've had a lot of injury dramas, but whoever they put in those roles are going to give effort, and that's what you like to see as a supporter of any club. They do get the hammer back this week as well, the Dolphins, a massive boost there. Last Friday, we saw Penrith 16 over the Bulldogs 10. Scrappy one, this one, especially with the weather. I thought the Bulldogs did a really good job defensively. Unfortunately, their attack is still too one-dimensional for me. Penrith made the most of their opportunities when they got it, despite the fact that they lost Nathan Cleary half an hour into this contest. It's just another week for them. They'll take the 2 points and move on. But the Bulldogs, I think, should be encouraged by the fact they managed to keep the Premiers to 6 points. To 16 points and within 6 points. The second game of Friday Night Football was the Broncos 30 over the Eels 14. I tipped the Eels in an upset in this one, but Brisbane, despite the fact that they were missing Adam Reynolds, they really showed up in this one. Reece Walsh was much better after a disappointing game 2 weeks ago against the Roosters. And the Eels, you know, I thought they competed hard and they were in the fight early, but the Broncos, too much class. Ezra Mann was outstanding. The forward pack really dominated for the Broncos, and the Eels, again, in that part of the field, there's got to be a lot of questions answered because they're not competing well enough in those areas at the moment. Super Saturday, we saw the Knights 20 over the Tigers 14. Despite the scoreline, Newcastle were in control, for more than half the game, especially in that second half. The Tigers started off all right, and it was 6-0 after 25 minutes, but they just don't have the superstars to match some of the other teams. And to Newcastle's credit, even do they, but they, a little bit like the Dolphins, they fought hard and just wanted it more than the Tigers. And I think that, you know, they're winning games through their forward pack at the moment. Bradman Best was outstanding on the edges, as was Dane Gagai. And they've just got some real effort players at the moment. Newcastle, they're finding a way to win ugly. And if they can continue to win and continue to stay in the, you know, mix for the top eight and get Ponga back, they can make a real surge in the back end of this competition for a finals berth in 2024. The second game of Super Saturday saw the Dragons 28 over my Rabbitohs 14, and it was a really scrappy game of football, this one, to say the least. The Rabbitohs and their, I guess, I don't want to say reserve grades because that's hard, but the players that they had filling positions like Jermaine Shibasaki and Dion Tia Paul, who's the young halfback that made his debut for them last week, Matt French, these players worked really hard, and they did a really good effort and put some pride into the jersey for their first performance in a Rabbitohs jumper. However, the fact that, you know, they were down on troops, I think the Rabbitohs really needed the likes of Cook, Mitchell, Cody Walker, their big stars, to really stand up more. Walker tried hard, especially in his 200th game, and yeah, that's a big achievement for him, considering how late that he started his career. But overall, I think the Dragons, you know, they're in a lot better place than the Rabbitohs at the moment. And I feel Jaden Sewell's outstanding. Jack DeBellin was great in this game. Their forward pack really stepped up. Lomax was a threat as always. And Ben Hunt controlled the game well. The Dragons did what they had to do. They weren't brilliant. They got the 2 points. They'll take it. They're 5-5, which is, I think, if you told anyone at the start of the year, that'd be 5 wins and 5 losses after 10 weeks. That can only be considered an absolute success for what Flanagan's been able to instill in that club in his first few months in charge. And they'll head into the bye this week. They're the only team not playing Magic Round, but they'll be confident that they can freshen up over this period, try to get through this Origin period strongly, considering they won't have the amount of representation that a lot of teams will have. And who knows, they could potentially fight for a top 8 finish in 2024. So, success story at the moment for the Dragons. Obviously, it's still a work in progress, but the improvement has been dramatic since Shane Flanagan has taken over at the helm of that club at the end of 2023. The final game of Super Saturday was an absolute blockbuster, and it was a big upset. It was the Sharks 25 over the Storm 18. Cronulla, without Nico Hines, he was ruled out with calf tightness earlier in this day, and they found a way to win. Daniel Atkinson was outstanding, leading the halves. Their forward pack really laid a platform, and you know, they deserved to win. There's no doubt about that. However, what I will say is in this game, there was some extremely poor refereeing. I know that everyone's probably got their take on the Harry Grant taking out the kicker situation. He didn't take out the kicker. It was a rubbish penalty. The fact that it was a sin bin is disgraceful, and I think that if you look at that contact compared to other contacts that this year that have been of a similar nature, it's absolute rubbish. If you go to the Roosters game, which we'll get to in a minute, of the next day, and we saw Luke Keary chicken winging Sean Johnson, which has got Johnson injured and out of this week's matchup, and he doesn't even get a report. And if you compare the two incidents, I think that one's much worse. The fact that Grant got sin-binned is ridiculous. The Sharks go down the field. They managed to score a four-pointer, which in my opinion is another terrible call. I don't think it was a try in any way, fashion, or form. And suddenly they find themselves in the lead. I think that I don't know if they have been, because I can't remember who was in charge. I haven't looked at the team list, but those referees, they've got to be able to make better judgment calls, and the bunkers got to be able to do a much better job, because they were influential in both the sin bidding and the try being awarded, and it's not first grade standard for our officials to be getting calls like that wrong. And for the Harry Grant situation, I don't even think it's a you know, one of these things where it's your opinion and it could go either way. I think it's just a rubbish call, and I think that changed the whole momentum of the game. Now, the Sharks, to their credit, they went on with it. But if I'm Craig Bellamy in the Storm, I'm feeling extremely ripped off heading into training this week. And, you know, an angry Storm doesn't bode well for the rest of the competition, especially the Parramatta Eels, who their opponents are this weekend. The Sunday afternoon games, we saw the Roosters 38 over the Warriors 18. The Roosters were way too good for New Zealand. After 10 minutes, we had, or 15 minutes, we had 2 tries to Dominic Young, 2 tries to Angus Crichton. Outstanding start to the game by the Roosters. The Warriors finally got in their groove after that, but the game was over, unfortunately, for them. They lost Sean Johnson. Their attack isn't in sync, and defensively, they're just not turning up at the moment. So, for mine, apart from South Sydney, the Warriors are without a doubt the most disappointing team in 2024 after what they accomplished at the back end of last year. They have been horrendous so far in 2024, and it's another big week this week because they're versing the Premiers, the Penrith Panthers, without some of their stars. It's going to be a huge challenge for the Warriors. The final game of Sunday afternoon football, I mentioned at the start of the show, but it was the Titans surviving against the fast-finishing Cowboys 20-18. The Titans bench was decimated in this game. So many injuries. Brimson and Foran on the shelf long-term. Harley Smith-Shields, it's either the season or I think it might be a little bit reduced. Regardless, the Cowboys scored 2 tries in the last, 5 minutes of this game and almost stole at the end. Titans hang on 20-18. Fifita was outstanding again as always. And, you know, Brimson, when he was out there, really controlled the game well with four. And so, you know, those injuries will cost them, and their side this week is drastically different. And, you know, they've got two hookers playing in the halves this week, but the Titans, they deserved the victory on the weekend, so well done. So that was my recap of round 10 of the Telstra Premiership. Now we're going to get into our Magic Round preview, and there's some big games coming your way this week from Suncorp Stadium. But before we get into that, if you guys haven't liked Steve's NRL Footy Tips on Facebook, it's the best way to stay notified of all the updates on the future of the show. Follow me wherever you listen to your favourite podcasts, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts. We're everywhere at Steve's NRL Footy Tips. I hope you guys enjoy your weekend of football. Let's hope we can get some tips right, and let's start the previews. It all kicks off at 6 p.m. on Friday night. And in a rematch of last year's Magic Round, the round will kick off at 6 p.m. at Suncorp Stadium when the Canberra Raiders face the Canterbury Bulldogs. And for the Canberra Raiders, it's the 30th anniversary of the grand final between these two sides that saw the Raiders win their third and final to this point in time premiership in Mount Meninga's final game for the club. Now, I know there will be a reunion up in Caxton Street before the game. I'm sure the celebrations will continue in through the night for the old boys, Meninga, Laurie Daly, Ricky Stewart, so many stars from that era for Canberra. So it's going to be a big occasion for them to start Magic Round. And throughout the week, we've also learnt that Ricky Stewart's officially signed a deal to remain the Canberra Raiders coach to the end of 2029. So massive news for Raiders. It's been a big week for Canberra Raiders fans already. And they're also boosted by the news that Jordan Rapana will return in this game for the first time in about a month. He'll retain his spot at fullback. Yeah, but Hopewadi will drop to the 18th man. So after a bye, the Raiders all back on deck this week. And, you know, they're looking fresh and ready to go come Magic Round. Their opponents, the Canterbury Bulldogs, they were close in defeat against Penrith last week. But as I said, their attack, so one-dimensional, obviously. Kikia, he's an X factor for the club, but they need to be able to get more from the rest of the team when attacking opposition goal lines. They've named the same 17 this week, and if we remember last year, this game was actually the Raiders 34 over the Bulldogs 30 on Magic Round, so there was a lot of points scored, entertained the crowd to start the weekend, and I feel like we're going to see a similar sort of game on Friday night. I think that both teams, you know, they're at a point in their season where they've got to throw caution to the wind. They're both around the top eight area. The Raiders are seventh, the Bulldogs are ninth. The Raiders can score plenty of points. Their defense has been questionable in the past, and we've seen the Bulldogs improve in that area towards lesser opposition. You know, as I said, their attack's nothing too flash, the Bulldogs, but they just give it to their key men in Burden and Kikau, and points seem to come off the back of that. I think Connor Tracy was really good coming into the fullback spot last week. So I think plenty of points by both teams in this game on Friday night. I think it's a big game for both teams in terms of staying close and in contention for that top eight area. And both teams have had a pretty good start to the season compared to where I think they thought they'd be in comparison. But I just think with the week that Canberra have had, the fact that, you know, they've got their last premiership side in attendance for this one, Ricky Stewart re-signs, one of their favourite sons in Rapana back this week, I think it's all set up for a big Canberra win, and I'm sure the Bulldogs will put plenty of effort in. Their development's been great, and I expect Matt Burden to have a big game here, pushing for a New South Wales Blues jersey, same as the Fox. I mean, he's in contention, Stephen Crichton. They've got players that want to have a big one here on Friday night, and they are the favourites heading to this game. But yeah, I just think Canberra, you know, they've overachieved so far this year. Massive occasion in front of a sold-out Magic Round crowd. I think Canberra will be too good for the Bulldogs. I've got the Raiders by 10 points to start Magic Round weekend. So this is our day, me and my mates that are going up to Magic Round on the Friday. We're going to get on a plane at about 7 a.m. We get up there, we land. And yeah, it's the weekend starts on there, really, but this game, the second game, Friday Night Football, doesn't start till 8 p.m. So by that point, we're probably going to be a few beers in. It's going to be a big day, that's for sure. But I'm excited for this one. 8 p.m. obviously from Suncorp, like all the other games this weekend, the big occasion of Magic Round, Manly Seagulls versus the Brisbane Broncos. It is going to be the final time that Manly host a main game at Magic Round. Apparently, they're going to go back to 12 home games at Brookvale next year for the first time, I think, in 20 to 30 years. So, big news for Manly fans there. And I know a lot of their fan base has been split, you know, on taking their home game to Suncorp every year. Unfortunately for Manly, their form as of recent weeks have been extremely disappointing. They seem to get to an early lead and then clock off and, you know, put the cue in the rack, so to speak, and oppositions take advantage of, you know, that awareness being down. And defensively, they're a mess at the moment, and it was evident in the games against Canberra and the Dolphins as of recent times. So, you know, they need to be a lot better, that's clear. They do get Hamole Olakau'atu back on deck this week, but unfortunately Tom Stroyevich is gone, and, you know, he's out for pretty much the entirety of the Origin campaign with a hamstring injury. It's probably, I believe it's around 6 to 7 weeks. So he'll be on back on deck, hopefully, for their finals, you know, the run into finals. But they need to stay in contention until that point. And they've got plenty of leaders still in their team to do that. So this has to be a response by Manly at Suncorp on Friday night. They simply have to be better. You know, they, as I said, they got some troops down. No Saab, no Brown, no Croker, no Tom Trbojevic. But the defensive systems has to be overhauled. Cherry Evans has got to really control the kicking game and try to keep Brisbane's outside backs out of this game. And you never know, an upset's possible, but Manly has to be a lot better. And their opponents, Brisbane, are coming off a big win over the Eels without their, you know, their superstar halfback and Adam Reynolds. It was a disappointing performance 2 weeks ago at Suncorp against the Roosters when they got 40 put on them and they had all that injury drama. But it was a good bounce back last week. I think they're building nicely. They want to get another win on the board before this Origin period really kicks off, because they're going to be so heavily affected because of that. I think Payne Hussle's really made a big difference to the forward pack. Him and Jensen have been outstanding up front for them. Carrigan, work hard as always, and I think Jordan Rickey's really elevated his game to a new level in 2024. So, liking what their forward pack's producing, Manly's going to have to be at their best if they're going to stop that. I think that Josh Rogers did a really good job stepping in for halfback last week, didn't overplay his hand, but they do get Jock Madden, a genuine number 7 back on the side this week. Him and Ezra Mam have had a good combo in the past, but I think their X factor in this game is always their X factor, and I think he's going to be absolutely crucial in the result here, and that's Reece Walsh. 2 weeks ago against the Roosters, he really struggled and overplayed his hand, tried to make something happen instead of it just naturally, you know, making the most of his chances, and the Roosters, you know, capitalized on a number of his errors. Last week, he, you know, streamlined it a lot and just played in the moment. And we saw what they did against Parramatta. So if he's on here, and I think he will be on heading into the Origin period, then I think the Broncos, this scoreline could be anything. I think that, you know, they'll entertain the fans, their home fans over Suncorp. They have usually been dominant in this encounter. I think that continues this week, and I think the Broncos are big winners. I've got the Broncos by 22 against Manly on Friday night, and it's on the back of, you know, a man of the match performance from Reece Walsh. For Manly to be any chance, Cherry Evans' kicking game's got to be elite, and they've got to be pretty much have a complete overhaul of the defence. They've got to be so much better in that period, and you know, those periods before half time and straight after half time, the intensity and the urgency has got to be a lot better from Manly. You guys know what time of the week it is. It's time for my favourite day of the week in terms of rugby league. It's Super Saturday, and a massive Magic Round Super Saturday kicks off at 3 p.m. this week with the Gold Coast Titans versus the Newcastle Knights. And unfortunately for the Titans, they've been hit with so many injuries the past weekends. They were down to no bench to end the game against the Cowboys on Sunday afternoon. And the big ones, Brimson, Foran, Harley Smith-Shields even on the wing. A lot of issues for the Titans at the moment, and their team this week represents that. They've got Keno Keening in at fullback. He's done a serviceable job there in the past, but in the halves, Chris Randall and Sam Verrills, two traditional hookers, dummy halves. And their dummy half is Aaron Clark, who was only sporadically been in that role in the past. I think he's better in a forward rotation. So, yeah, unfortunately for the Titans heading into Magic Round this year, completely decimated by injury. And, yeah, their lineup reflects that, unfortunately, for all those Titans fans. However, their effort was unreal last week. If they can match that this week, they're going to give themselves a chance. And if we look at last year in Magic Round, they were huge upset victors over Parramatta Eels. And, in fact, all four of the Queensland teams actually came away with the points last year. So, I'm sure the Queensland, loyal Queensland fans up there will be right behind their Titans, even though, you know, they might not be their traditional favourite team. Because let's be honest, I don't know if the Gold Coast Titans have fans. Out of all the teams at Magic Round, you see the least amount of Titans jerseys. I swear I've seen more North Sydney Bears jerseys than I do Titans jerseys. But, you know, I'm sure that the locals will get behind Gold Coast in this one, and they'll be heavy fan favourites heading into this game against Newcastle. And for Newcastle, look, they didn't play Magic Round last year, so they get their first taste in this environment for a couple of years. And, you know, I've been impressed by what I've seen from them the last few weeks. It was, a bit of a tough affair last Saturday against the Tigers, but they were in control for the majority of that second half. Tough win against the Warriors 14-8 the week prior, so they're learning to win the tough way without their superstar Kangon Plonga. And, you know, it doesn't matter how good you're playing at the moment, it just matters getting those 2 points and getting in finals contention. Their defence has been really good, and they've set a good standard, their forward pack, in that regard. Their forward pack is getting over the top of oppositions. I think Frizzell's been a really good inclusion into that. Leo Thompson's playing unreal. Safidi's starting to hit some form as well. And Dylan Lucas has been unreal on the edge there for Newcastle. So, yeah, I mean, they're winning tough. And I think that this is going to be another tough encounter come Saturday afternoon. Now, the sun should be shining, so it could be points in this one. But just looking at how both sides are struggling with the football in hand at the moment, I would probably lean it to be a little bit more of a scrappy, lower-scoring game, even in perfect conditions. And, as I said, both these sides plenty of heart at the moment. Not a huge amount of X-factor. So, I'm going to go the Knights just based on, the fact that the Titans have been decimated. But honestly, an upset wouldn't surprise me, considering it is Magic Round. It is in front of a home Queensland faithful fan base. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But I'll go Newcastle by 6. But I think this might be the most, maybe the most low-scoring game of the weekend, in my opinion. So we'll see if I'm right. I could be completely wrong. I probably said that, and it'll probably be 80 points now. But, Newcastle by 6 to start Super Saturday. After that 3 p.m. game, the 5:30 game of Super Saturday, in my opinion, is shaping up to be the game of the round. It is the Cronulla Sharks versus the Sydney Roosters. The Sharks sit on top of the NRL table with 8 wins and 1 loss to their name so far in 2024. The Roosters are 5th. So, a huge game, and considering the Roosters have really hit a huge run of form since Anzac Day, I think it's shaping up to be an absolute blockbuster. Now, Nico Hines has been named for the Sharks after sitting out with calf tightness last week, but he is in doubt to take his lineup, his place in the lineup this week. So, keep an eye out, especially for your tips, for that news an hour before kickoff, because while it didn't affect them last week too much and they got the win over the Storm in, a controversial fashion, there's no doubt the influence he has on the side. And Braden Trindle, who has had some off-field dramas, has been named in the extended bench this week, so I wouldn't even be surprised if Nico does play, if it's him and Trindle in the Haas, and if he doesn't, Trindle just comes in and is a straight swap for Nico, with the young player in Daniel Axon, who's been outstanding with his limited opportunities in first grade, and he kicked the field goal in the game last week against the Storm. So, yeah, I thought the Sharks were really good last week. Their forward pack, in my opinion, has been a surprise package of 2024. McInnes is really leading it with his hard work, but the impact that they're having with guys like Oregon Kafusi and Tom Hazelton has been unreal. Nakora's hard worker as always. And then when you take off those two big starting props, you've got, Royce Hunt and Jack Williams and even Talakai last week. We saw the impact he had when he came on through the middle of the field. Big impact when they come on. So they're just relentless through the forward pack, and it lets the outside backs be exciting. And, before those forwards even have a run, the impact of their wingers, Militalo, Katoa, they're just meter eaters. It's really starting their sets on the front foot, and I think it's a big reason why the Sharks are so high up in the ladder. They're first at this point throughout the season. Now, I've still got questions about their long-term success in big games. Obviously, it's a huge scalp against Melbourne this week, but as I said, controversial fashion. So it's a huge test this week against the Roosters. There's no doubt about it. And the Roosters, they're hitting a real run of form. I thought they were great 2 weeks ago against the Broncos. They started off on like a house on fire last week against the Warriors, 22-0 after 10 minutes. Who saw that coming, even despite the fact that the Warriors were struggling? I mean, They've been fantastic, and I think it's really started from the halves. I think Keary and Walker playing for Freedom, I think I've seen him play in years since Keary made the retirement announcement. I think he's just playing with this real freedom. And Sam Walker, we know he got dropped earlier this year. I think he's come back into the side, and he has really, you know, made that number seven jersey his own. He's not afraid to run a gap and pick his moments, and he's playing really nicely, and he's definitely developing into a player that can really control a rugby league team around the field, which is great to see for Sam Walker, because the talent that he has is, you know, remarkable, and he could be a Roosters and Queensland star for another decade. So that's the amount of wraps that I think the potential that Sam Walker has, and their forward pack obviously has helped him big time. That rotation of Hargraves and Colin making an impact, and then you bring in Terrell May, and now with the returning Spencer Lemieux back, and just continuing putting pressure in the middle of the field and having guys that are making meters for the inroads in the middle of the field is huge. And then we're seeing the results of it. We're seeing Radley be a really good link man, Crichton getting a huge space and scoring points. They're flying at the moment, the Roosters, and you know, and I expect another big performance on Saturday night. I think Tedesco's got a real point to prove that he wants that New South Wales fullback jersey. For me, I think it's impossible to keep Dylan Edwards out because he has been the best fullback in the game for 3 to 4 years now. But Tedesco's not going to go down without a fight. He's really going to try to stamp his imprint in this game. And, you know, I think the Roosters realise what a challenge it's going to be this week, because the Sharks have been no pushovers this year. I think it's a new Shark side. Especially if Nico plays, I think it's going to be a real battle in the middle of the field. And, you know, the teams that make the most out of the opportunities and the teams, the halves, you know, Walker and Keary versus Atkinson and Hines, or Trindle and Hines, or Atkinson and Trindle. Whoever control the game best in the halves, I think, is going to be the big difference maker on Saturday night. So I think it's a huge game. And I actually think the Roosters, the form they're showing at the moment, can cause an upset here. I think they're a smoky for the premiership. Maybe not even a smoky now. I think they're a premiership heavyweight, and they could, out of everyone, at the moment, they're the team that's looking most likely to be able to knock off Penrith. Now, obviously, the Storm have got to get a lot of their stars back from injury, but the Roosters are flying at the moment. Whether they can maintain that over this Origin period remains to be seen. But I think the Roosters, at the moment, I'd back them almost against anyone in the comp based on what I've seen over the last 3 weeks of football. And out of all games this weekend, this is truly the game of the battlers. It is the South Sydney Rabbitohs versus the North Queensland Cowboys from 7:30 on Super Saturday. Both of these sides coming off 5 losses in a row. So it's not pretty if you're a Rabbitohs or a Cowboys fan at the moment. And, you know, I think in this game, the pressure may actually be more on the Cowboys than it is on the last place one win to their name, South Sydney Rabbitohs, because the Rabbitohs, we've talked about their troubles, and I said I want to make this podcast mostly positive this week, and I'm a South Sydney fan, and you know, they've had their issues this year that in terms of players under-delivering, but the fact is they're struggling to get 17 players on the park each week, so the players that they've brung from the lower grades up, they've done a, you know, respectable job in putting some pride back in this Rabbitohs jersey, and it's not something that's going to have a long, short-term fix. It's something that's going to take a while, and, you know, players getting healthy to see some results get on the board for the Rabbitohs, and obviously they're still chasing Wayne Bennett. They could get his signature this weekend at Magic Round, and they got Luke Dodds coming in from the Super League next year, Lewis Dodds, that is. So, yeah, I mean, 2024 is almost a write-off for the Rabbitohs. They do get a few troops back this week. I mean, Gagai and Alex Johnson, the wingers, come back in. They need, you know, those guys to really step in and help the forward pack if they're going to make inroads in the middle of the field, because they've been struggling making meters. But the Cowboys, if we look at them on the other hand, I mean, they've got all the talent in the world on the football field at the moment. You know, you got Drinkwater, you got Dearden, you got Townsend, Holmes, Tamalolo, a lot of premiership winning experience there, and a lot of guys that have been in big game situations, and it's just not good enough at the moment. They seem to be a side that only wants to attack. They don't want to do any of the hard work defensively, and opposition are just running over the top of them. They can't defend multiple sets on their goal line in a row, and it's disgraceful. I think Todd Payton and the whole Cowboys organization should be under a lot of pressure at the moment. Some of their recruitment choices have been poor, and, you know, it's fine if they want to play next try wins football, and it might be good enough this week against the Rabbitohs, but it's not going to make a competitive rugby league side in the NRL. So they've got to be defensive mindset. If I'm the Cowboys this week, I don't care if we score 10 points or 60 points. But that defensive number, the amount of points that the Rabbitohs, especially a struggling side like the Rabbitohs, score this week, very important. You need to set a standard defensively. It can't wait because they've had some poor performances over the last couple of months. It has to start now. Defensively, you've got to tighten it up. And we'll see, because the Rabbitohs, they've, you know, still got some strike. They've still got Latrell Mitchell. He scored 2 tries last week. I know his performance was heavily criticised. You still got Wyden. You still got Cody Walker. You still got Damien Cook. These guys can ignite an attack and can score points with the Cowboys. If there's any chance for the rest of the year, it's got to start from the defence, and they've got to fix it, because 5 losses in a row with this calibre of team that they're showing, they've got, you know, on paper, really not good enough. So we'll see how this week goes for both clubs. Obviously, the Cowboys were heavily supported up there at in Brisbane. South Sydney, their fan base usually does travel. They usually have fans everywhere across the world, but I think the Cowboys will be the sentimental favourite from the crowd heading into this game. I'll be up there as a South Sydney Rabbitohs fan, as always, supporting my team. But it's hard to tip against the Cowboys. I think it gets to a try versus try fest, unfortunately, because of the Rabbitohs' injuries and the fact that they're down on confidence and down on form. The Cowboys got too many points in them for South Sydney. So the Cowboys by 12, but, you know, the Cowboys aren't serious about defence, and obviously the Rabbitohs are trying to get better in that area, but it's hard with the personnel they're putting on the field. I think this game could have 60 to 70 points in it. It could be extremely high scoring, but yeah, the Cowboys by 12 to end Super Saturday. And as I just finished that Rabbitohs Cowboys match preview, I get a notification and Fox Sports is reporting that Wayne Bennett has signed a 3-year deal for the South Sydney Rabbitohs for $1 million a season. So massive news there for Rabbitohs fans. Not official yet, but it's looking really good that Bennett's going to be coming back to Redfern next year. All right, Sunday afternoon football, the final game, the final day of Magic Round this year, is the New Zealand Warriors versus the Penrith Panthers from 1:50 p.m. And unfortunately for the defending premiers, Nathan Cleary is back on the injury list after recently returning. He has gone down with a hamstring injury, and he'll be out of the entire Origin series. So, a massive blow for both the Blues and Penrith. And by the way, I'll be naming my New South Wales Blues team on this podcast next week, who I think should be picked officially. But because of the Cleary injury, Jerome Luai will line up with young Jack Cole in the halves. Targo's back with a suspension. Alamotti drops back to the 18th man. Matt Eisenhuff and Dane Laurie back on the bench as well, with Liam Henry suspended and Sorensen's even a chance to return. So despite the fact that they've lost Cleary, a few troops back this week, their opponents, the New Zealand Warriors, they have been in horrible form, extremely disappointing after their back end last year. And their lineup this week has some mass changes to it. Sean Johnson's going to be out next for the next fortnight with a pectoral injury. RTS has been sidelined due to a hamstring injury. He could be out for another month. Freddie Lussick's gone for a concussion as well. So Tua Pickie's the new fullback. Chandu or Klodstad in a very interesting and massive move. He moves to the 5'8", and Tiamaria Martin moves to halfback. So it's mass changes there. I mean, they've still got, I believe, Chanel Harris-Tavila in reserve grades. I'm not sure why he's not in the halves this week, and they've moved Chance, but Tua Pickie did a really good job at fullback with his opportunities. Chance or Klodstad will get closer to the ball because they need to score points, but obviously defence has got to be a big priority for him as well, and if anyone can expose defensive weaknesses, there's no one better at it than Penrith Panthers. And, you know, they may be short of that premiership experience that Cleary gives in the halves, but Dylan Edwards is the most formed player in the rugby league world at the moment. I think he has to be the New South Wales fullback, and I think that he's on top of the Dalian leaderboard, and I think that he's going to be another big factor this weekend. He's been massive for him this year, Edwards. Him and Isaiah Yeo will completely control this game, and young Cole and Luai, you know, will handle some of the kicking and you know, not overplay their hand. I'm sure Lou will be looking to get that left-hand side rolling. Jack Cole has... He did a good job in the World Cup Challenge when he came in, but it's a big opportunity for him in first grade in a big occasion like Magic Round. So, it's an intriguing game on Sunday afternoon. But if you look at the way that Penrith forward and their forward packs just, you know, steamroll opposition, the Warriors, with the names they've got, you know, with Barnett and Fenua Blake and Ford and Harris, they should really be competing better in the middle of the field. And it's a big challenge this week against Penrith forward pack, because you know Fisher Harris will be charging. He's going to the Warriors next year, but unfortunately he's not there yet. Leota, Martin, they're going to be ruthless in the middle of the field. So yeah, I just think that the Warriors, down on confidence in the moment, they're back against the wall this week. I think Penrith could put the cleaners through them, despite the fact that they're missing Cleary. I think they continue to roll forward, and I've got Penrith winning the first game of Sunday Magic Round by 16 points. So Penrith, too good for me. The second game of Sunday afternoon football kicks off at 4:05 with the Melbourne Storm versus the Parramatta Eels. And for the Storm, Suncorp Stadium is almost a home away from home for them. They have a fantastic record up there. Things didn't go to plan last week. They went down 25-18 in controversial fashion to the Sharks. They still are missing a lot of their more experienced playmakers in Hughes and Papahouse, and still being sidelined. So Bugalogo continues to be the fullback, and Wishart slots in again at halfback for them. They have a great record over the Eels traditionally, and you know, I think they were poor by their own standards, despite the fact that there was controversy in last week's loss to the Sharks. So I expect them to be much improved this weekend. I think Munster will need to take control of the game a little bit better than he did last week. Obviously, Hughes is such a controlling figure at halfback, and it's hard to replicate. But really, Tyron Wishart, who played fantastic last week, he was the more dominant half for the Storm. So I think Munster will pick his moments and make them quality ones this week. And, you know, I think the forward pack were really fired up after the Sharks beat them to the punch last week. I expect big performances from the likes of Welsh and Nelson Asofa-Solomona off the bench. Katara and Bloor will work hard as always, and Josh King does a lot of hard work at a dummy half. So I think that Grant and Munster will really step up and control the Storm side this week. And, you know, we get another chance to see young Fagalogo as well, who's, you know, just a superstar. With the potential he has, he could be a huge superstar in the game of rugby league. Now, their opponents this week, the Parramatta Eels, unfortunately, Mitchell Moses isn't fit for this game, so he'll only have one chance potentially to impress Michael Maguire and earn that Blues number 7 jersey next week. So Dejan Arcee and Nathan Brown are the halves this week. You know, I think that they started the game decently over the Broncos last week, but same old problems from Parramatta. Defensively, they're not up to scratch at times, and their forward pack not having the desired impact, not winning the battle in the ruck at the moment. So, I mean, the onus has got to be on Campbell, Gillard, Paulo to be the experienced guys in that area and really muscle up against this big Storm forward pack. Hopgood will work hard. You know, I'm sure they'll try to get quality boards to Lane and Madison, but it's really the middle of the field that they need to work on and work the Storm over on and get over the top of them. I think in that regard, they're lacking, you know, Brian Toe or Dominic Young, someone that's going to come out at the outside backs, make 200 metres, and really start your sets on the right foot. Because if you look at their wingers this week, they've got Simonson and Sivo. They're not traditionally big meter readers. Sivo, I think he has to get a flare-up this week. He's got to be the guy that comes and starts every set and makes 10, 15 metres and gets the Eels out of their own danger zone, because I think that's crucial. If you're going to beat the Melbourne Storm, you've got to get quick play of the balls, but you've got to start your sets on the right foot. So, you know, I think the Eels will be desperate. All the noise around the club at the moment, they're under a lot of pressure. But the Storm, they'll be disappointed last week. I don't think they're going to be out to make it two losses in a row. I think the effort areas will be great from Melbourne, and they'll be up for this contest. As I said, they're usually, you know, dominant winners. I think they lost last year to the Rabbitohs, but usually dominant winners in Magic Round and up there at Suncorp. So I've got the Storm being too strong for Parramatta. Storm by 12, but I think the Eels can make a contest of it. I just don't think they've got the class. I'd love to see Blaze Talangi have another big performance like he did last week, but I don't think they've got the class in the halves, and their forward pack needs a rev up if they're going to compete against the Melbourne Storm. which leads us to 6:25 p.m. on Sunday night. Of course, with the Dragons having the bye, this is the final game of the round. It's the West Tigers versus the Dolphins. A bit of an anticlimactic end to the round. I mean, the Dolphins are an exciting football team, and, you know, Suncorp Stadium and, you know, the Queensland public love them. But the Tigers haven't been up to task. I think they've got lost 6 games in a row now. Been extremely disappointing for the Dolphins. They get the hammer back. They're looking like a side that can score a lot of points this weekend. Asako and Bostock have both been impressive when the ball's gone out to the areas. That they kind of changed it up on both sides of recent weeks. Nickerie and McIntyre have been really good. Their forward packs lay on a good platform. They do lose Max Plaff this week, I think due to a concussion. But yeah, they're firing at the moment, the Dolphins. And unfortunately for Tigers fans, I just don't know how much improvement we've seen so far this year. And without Caesar, who's a massive loss, and it was a massive loss from last week. Gowan and Sullivan, 2 young halves. Bullard, the young fullback. They've got quite a job ahead of them if they're going to beat the Dolphins in front of a sold-out Suncorp Stadium to end Magic Round. Appy Chorus here, he's going to have to be electric out of dummy half if there are any chance. Their forward pack, you know, they've got some hard toilers, but no Bateman's a big loss for them as well. And yeah, I don't have a huge amount to say about this game. I just think that the Dolphins will run rampant, unfortunately. I think that the Tigers are well off where they need to be at the moment if they're going to, you know, count 2024 as a success. I think they've gone forward in a few areas, but it's, you know, two step forward, 1 step back for them at the moment. I think they're still leagues away from being a competitive football team week in and week out in the NRL. So, you know, I think the Dolphins got way too many points in them. I expect a huge game from the Hammer coming back, and I think he'll instantly put himself in the Origin conversation. I think Farnworth and Averillo, the centers, have been electric lately as well, so I expect big performances out of them. And I've just got the Dolphins by 22 points to end Magic Round 2024. So I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast this week. I'm looking forward to getting up to Suncorp on Friday, enjoying the weekend of football. As I said, last year was my favorite ever experience being live at a rugby league venue. So if you can get there, get to Magic Round and enjoy that atmosphere. I hope you guys enjoy your footy this week if you're watching on TV. And just to recap my tips for Magic Round, I've got the Raiders upsetting the Bulldogs on Friday night. I've got Brisbane being too strong for Manly. Saturday afternoon football, I've got the Newcastle Knights barely getting over the top of the understrength Titans side. The Roosters upsetting the Sharks. The Cowboys having too many points in them for the Rabbitohs. And Super Sunday, I've got the Panthers too strong for the Warriors. The Storm bouncing out against Parramatta. And the Dolphins putting the cleaners through the West Tigers. Enjoy your Magic Round this year, guys. Enjoy your weekend of football. And I'll see you guys next time on Steve's NRL Footy Tips.